So there is an image that Jesus suggests in this parable. And I was thinking this week, you know, from dust we were created and to dust we will return. The image that Jesus suggests in this parable is thinking about the human heart as a clump of soil. You guys all know what a clump of soil is like, right? A clump of soil. And depending on where you get your clump of soil, where you pick it up from, that soil is going to have a different consistency, right? Some soil is going to be really hard packed so that you literally have to take it and smash it onto a hard surface in order for it to break apart. And some soil has like little pebbles and even rocks in it. So there's the soil is not pure soil. There's definitely things in there that would hinder any penetration into it. And then there's other soil that's just like interwoven all through with roots. You know what kind of soil I'm talking about? So if you kind of hit it on something, a chunk will fall off, but it's like held by roots of just different plants, different other things. And then there's soil that's, you know, just kind of pristine. I mean, it's just ready to be penetrated. It's nice and lush, and you just see you can even run your fingers through it. It's not hard at all. It's receptive. It's ready. And so Jesus encourages us in this parable that he tells to think about the human heart as a clump of soil. Now, I'm just going to ask you a question. I know you're not a hand-raising bunch, but I just want you to raise your hands. And if not many people raise your hands, then I'm going to be totally thrown off with the rest of my sermon. And so you get what you pay for, okay? How many people have interpreted this parable, first and foremost, as a parable about evangelism? Okay, like four of you. Great, okay. I think it's probably more than that, okay? Jesus is talking to his disciples. And, you know, we know the rest of the story, so we know that Jesus is somehow preparing his disciples to go out into the world and spread the gospel. And what he is telling them about is that, you know, when you encounter different human hearts, when you encounter different people, some will be more receptive to the gospel than others. And for some, the gospel will just penetrate the soil of their hearts in a significant way, in a powerful way. And for others, the gospel might penetrate, but not as deeply. And it's as though Jesus is kind of preparing them as they earlier that day had looked out upon these crowds that are following Jesus and listening to his words. They're looking out into the harvest fields of people that potentially could come into the kingdom. And Jesus is saying, you know what, you guys, there are different kinds of hearts. There will be different kinds of responses to the message that I bring and the message that I give to you. And so don't be discouraged. Be aware of that going in. I've always looked at this parable as an evangelistic parable. And that, I'm just going to say, is a perfectly good way to look at it. We need to look at it that way. Because part of our charge as Christians, part of our charge as believers, we get this from Matthew 28, but we get it from everywhere, is go make disciples. This is what we are to be about. And as we, like the disciples before us, go out and make disciples of all nations, we are to be prepared that some hearts are going to receive the gospel and other hearts are going to resist. And then there's different kinds of soils in between that we're going to have to navigate as we build relationships with different people from both within and without our congregation. And so you can kind of imagine what these people are like, although I'm going to warn you, it's a little bit dangerous to do so. So for instance, you encounter a hardcore atheist, or you encounter a hardcore adherent to some other world religion. And they'll listen to what you say about the gospel, but it's like their hearts are so hard-packed, like the seed that fell on the path, the well-worn path that's all packed down. Their hearts are so packed that the gospel will kind of hit the surface, but they won't allow it to penetrate at all. It's not going to penetrate at all. They hear the gospel. They hear something about Jesus Christ. They hear something about our faith, and it's not going to phase them at all. It's immediately stolen up by the birds. It's immediately stolen by Satan. Then there's others that we will witness to that have somewhat receptive hearts, and their hearts, although they are receptive, they have a lot of pebbles and rocks in there. It's a kind of a compromised soil. And so you might share your testimony with them. You might share the gospel with them, and they're going to receive it very positively. And they're going to say, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. And they think, you know what? It seems like becoming a Christian is the best decision I could make. It's going to get me out of some of the problems that I've found myself in through life without the gospel. But then people with those kind of hearts, with the hearts that have rocky soil, they will hit hard times. After converting to Christianity, after coming to Christ, they will hit hard times and they'll think, hey, it wasn't supposed to be this way. This was supposed to make my life better. This was supposed to make my life easier. And so because they're not rooted deeply enough in the faith, because the gospel has not penetrated their hearts to a substantial depth, they fall away. And then we'll encounter some other people in our evangelistic efforts that I guess you could call it, they have weedy soil in their hearts. They have thorn bushes that are sown right along with the gospel. And with this kind of people, it's not a matter of depth. The gospel does penetrate deeply, and the gospel is and becomes a significant part of their lives. But see, the thorn plants, the thorn bushes, those roots penetrate just as deeply. And so there's a lot of competition, a lot of internal competition. There's a problem with priorities. And eventually the gospel loses out. It just doesn't have enough nutrients. It doesn't have enough air. It doesn't have enough opportunity to expand and to grow in the heart. And then, of course, the last kind of soil, people who are receptive to the gospel, submit to the word of God, invite the Holy Spirit to transform. And in the case of that kind of heart soil, true transformation can happen. That's a mature believer. A mature believer. And that's kind of what we hope for in our evangelistic efforts. You know, we want to share the gospel with somebody, and we want to just see them before our very eyes mature into the kind of Christian that is, you know, going to be a leader in the church and is going to spearhead kingdom issues and kingdom imperatives, kingdom initiatives. But Jesus tells his disciples, when it comes to your evangelistic efforts, you're going to get a mixed bag. And that's what the kingdom is like. It's going to be a mixed bag, and you're going to have to work through all this, and don't get discouraged in your evangelism. Because although you're responsible for planting the seed sometimes, it is God who is responsible for making it grow. Did I do a good job? Did I do a good job of giving you the evangelistic perspective of the parable of the sower? One person nod your head. Okay, thank you. I have always thought about this parable with regard to evangelism. But I was thinking over the last 2 weeks, I think that this parable is very pertinent to discipleship as well. This parable doesn't just speak to us about our evangelism regarding other people. Maybe even before we get to evangelism, this parable speaks to us on a discipleship level. See, here's how it plays out. We have those four kinds of soil. And I would argue that to some extent, to some measure, we have all four kinds of soil represented in this congregation. You curious? I think about those people in our congregation whose hearts have hard packed soil. Now, these are people who know the gospel. These are people who can recognize a good sermon, and they can analyze the gospel, and they can take notes on the gospel, and they're getting the gospel from every which way. They maybe listen to the radio, they watch other services on TV. I mean, they are literally being bombarded with the gospel, but they have a posture of hard-packed soil in their hearts. And so while they know the gospel extremely well, can converse in the gospel with the best of us, the gospel never really penetrates to a level which it can transform their lives, where it truly gives them a joy that is overflowing, so that others might come and be attracted by the message that Jesus brings. Others in our congregation perhaps have rocky soil. Rocky soil. And so week after week, they receive the gospel with joy. With joy. And you know, when they came into this church, things were going pretty well. Life was going along smoothly. But then as soon as a trial comes, whether it's like an illness or a death in the family, maybe it's a financial disaster, all of a sudden, somebody who, you know, just, you know, was proclaiming the fact that they followed Jesus and that they trusted in God, as soon as things got tough, they're like, where in the world is God? Where in the world is God? Why is God doing this to me? We're talking about this in the evenings with Job, right? I don't think any of us have had that kind of suffering to the extent that Job had, but how many of us, when suffering does come, it's kind of like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't sign up for this. What's going on? We have people in this congregation that have in the soil of their hearts other things at work, other things growing, thorn bushes, if you will. And so for people like that, the gospel is very real. The gospel is a significant part of our lives. But our career is a significant part of our lives. And our family is a significant part of our lives. Again, we have other distractions. an illness again, the mortgage, just other concerns. And so while the gospel penetrates deeply into the soil of their hearts, so do other things. And then we have a crisis of priorities, right? It might not be a crisis that we realize on a daily basis, but it is a crisis of priorities nonetheless. We haven't thought these things through. We haven't made decisions up front. And so kingdom stuff, gospel stuff is important, but it's of equal importance to some of these other, many of them good things in our lives. And then, of course, there are some in our congregation that have just beautifully soiled hearts. That doesn't work. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Soil where the gospel penetrates. Postures where we come to God in humility and say, yes, I am not happy with the person that I am. And I give you free rein by the power of your Spirit to transform me. What am I getting at? I'm getting at, I think Jesus tells this parable, yes, because he wants the kingdom to grow. And he wants the kingdom to grow numerically. He wants our witness to be a powerful witness. He wants us to be passionate about the things that he is passionate about, and that is dispersing God's glory, not just amongst ourselves, but to the nations. And so we are to be about that work. But do you remember, it was mentioned twice, we had the yielding fruit, 30, 60, 100-fold. Yielding fruit, 30, 60, 100-fold. By God's grace, the harvest is going to be massive. But what's our part in that? I want to be a 100-fold guy. But you know what? I'd be perfectly satisfied being a 30 or 60-fold guy. But I want some fruit. And the only way to have the evangelistic fruit that this parable is pointing to with regard to the kingdom is to take this parable about the soil of our own hearts seriously in us first. You know, the verb listening or hearing is mentioned like 9 or 10 times in our passage. This is all about hearing. Now, the Hebrew word for to hear is shema. And it's not just the sense of it. It's not just mindlessly kind of accumulating information. Shema means to hear, but it also means to obey. It is hearing God's word and then being transformed by it. It's not hearing God's word and saying, hey, that's great, and then as soon as the postlude is done, you're off and not thinking about it at all. So this morning, I want to encourage you to step back and evaluate the soil of your own hearts, because it is from that soil that the fruits of growth for yourself and for others is going to come. That is the avenue that God works in us. That's the avenue that God works in us. And I said, by his grace, the harvest is going to be plentiful. Our first concern is that, are we part of that harvest? And our second concern is, are we contributing to that harvest? Brothers and sisters, don't be discouraged as you evaluate the soil of your hearts. Know that if you're even concerned about the quality of soil in your hearts, it means that the Spirit is already working in you. It is a sure sign that God cares about you and God loves you and God wants you to be the best you can be in him. For that too, brothers and sisters, is at the core of the gospel that we both receive and that we endeavor to share for God's glory and for the growth of the kingdom. Amen. Let's pray.